don't like what the manual says, but that's not for me to determine. It's already been put in the book, and I just got to do it. And I praise the Lord for that. Luke chapter 8, we're going to look at some verses here. I'm going to preach along those lines. I want you to kind of just keep your Bible open if you can. Luke chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God." That's kind of what we should be doing, isn't it? And the 12 were with him. Now notice verse 2, it's an interesting verse. "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." So literally the Bible focuses on this one lady, Mary Magdalene. We know she had a rough past before, and she met the Lord Jesus, and he took seven devils and cast them out from her, and she was never the same from that day. Now look at verse 3, "And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." Now I've always thought that verse was interesting. These women, traveling with the 12 disciples and Jesus, I'm sure all their lives were touched by Jesus Christ. But then verse 3, it says, "many of them, others, which ministered unto him of their substance." I believe these women traveled with Jesus, and they would often maybe fix a meal if there was a meal that needed to be fixed. I believe these women might have even been wealthy women, because it says their substance, that means what they had. And of course we know one of them her husband was in Herod's, he was Herod's steward, he was in the maybe some type of government, so we know that she might have had some money. So if Jesus went somewhere and maybe needed something, they might would step up and say, "Jesus, you're not paying for anything, I've got this." I don't know, but that may be. I'm just reading into that a little bit. And we don't know much about Susanna, but we know that she was a good woman. "And many others which ministered unto him of their substance." Now here's where business picks up. Verse 4. "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Verse 5. "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and it choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath an ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now Jesus said that. He did not cry with tears running down his face. He cried out loud and said, "He that hath ears, let him hear." So he says, hey, if the word of God's speaking up, it's time for you to stop running this and start listening to this. Now, it'd be good if some of you did that in church, amen? And it'd help you out a lot. Verse number 8. "And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now look at verse 9. "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?'" So they're saying, "What do you mean, Lord? What are you telling us?" Verse 10. "And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God.'" There it is. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and he taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So we know that the word of God, hearing the word of God, brings about salvation. Is that not correct? It's what the word of God says. If you'll hear the word of God, so it's not my words that saves anybody. It's not my doing that saves anybody. It's the word of God, the power of the word of God. Look at verse number 13. "They are on the rock, they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, in a time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I want you to notice this morning on the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God and what hearing the Word of God and believing the Word of God and rejecting the Word of God and obeying the Word of God and trusting the Word, all those things, what it will bring. I want you to see the first things here in the Word of God. Verses 4 through verse 21, it tells us about the Word of God. It tells us the importance of the Word of God. I want you to notice, take heed that you hear. Verses 4 through 15 talks about here. The word here in just these, 17 verses or so around that, the word here is mentioned 9 times. Now, if the Lord Jesus mentions one word at one time in all the Bible, we know that's an important word. Is that not correct? But if he takes 17 verses and you hear the word here 9 times, I believe there's some emphasis that needs to be focused on the word here. And we see it right here. It says the word here. So take heed that you hear. It's emphasized 9 times in these verses, for it is by our hearing that we take the Word of God into our hearts, where it can create faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, not by seeing. See, you can't believe everything you see at times, right? I've been looking at things before, and I have been dead wrong, sitting in a tree stand. And I've been looking, and I'm like, man, that looks like something down there. And I'm grabbing stuff out of my, trying to be quiet and stuff. And I'm looking through, and come to find out, it's a stick. Oh, there he is right there. And I'm just, in my mind, I'm getting all, you know how it is. Come to find out, it's nothing. I've been sitting there, and boy, there's been some rustling and some limbs breaking. I thought, here he is. Come to find out, it's a dog. It's a cat, or it's something there, a squirrel. Squirrels, man, you don't see a squirrel during squirrel season. Then you get in the deer stand, and you'll see a million of them, amen? And they know when it is. Hey, I've been wrong by what I have seen, but here I thank God that Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing. So, hey, good news for you. You may have walked in the day and your eyesight may not be good, but I thank God you're hearing. Listen, if you can hear today, you can hear the Word of God and it will grow your faith. I thank the Lord. So take heed to that you hear. The human heart is, I believe, like the soil, and we must be prepared if the Word is to be planted and fruitful. I called my granddad the other day, and he's up in West Virginia, and I said, Granddad, how's the gardens doing this year? And he said, well, I got 3. Now, he's 87. He's got 3 gardens. He said, I've got a bumper crop of green beans. He said, your granny's in there. She's canning them right now. And I said, all right. He said, my tomatoes, though, ain't nothing. He said, I've never been more disappointed in tomatoes. He said, Steve, you know what? He said, I gave them green beans and them tomatoes the same amount of water, the same amount of attention, the same amount of hours out there in that garden, pulling them weeds and preparing all that. And he said, my green beans did good, and my tomatoes did not do worth nothing. I said, Granddad, I know what you're talking about. He said, what do you mean? You got a garden? I said, no, I got a church. I got a church. I said, I can preach the same message to the same people, the same hour, in the same building, out of the same Bible. Some over here are growing and flourishing and doing good, and you got some over here shriveling up, ain't worth nothing. It's your heart. See, the Word of God falls on that heart, and what you do. Oh, there's people, listen, there's people this morning that have a heart. I mean, when you would tap on that heart, it sounds like that. Boy, it's hard, and they come, and I've been around a while, and I've seen a lot of things, and I've experienced, and buddy, and preacher, you come on in here, and you preach, and try to stir me. Well, if that's your attitude, ain't much going to happen. I've heard a lot, and I've been a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of things. And preacher, you do your best today, but, good luck. And then there's others that you watch as you're preaching, and buddy, they're soaking it in like a sponge. I mean, they're sitting there. Hey, it blesses my heart when I see someone and they've got their Bible open and they're sitting there and all of a sudden it's time to close and it's time to go home and they're just looking at the clock like, man, I can't believe it's already time. I mean, I was just receiving it. Brother Linwood, you know what I'm talking about? Hey, friend, I would rather be the latter than the first. What we have is a bunch of people who's heard everything, seen everything. I'd rather get that new convert that just got saved and they've never heard none of it. Buddy, they're just over there and they're like, man, I never heard that before. Oh, preacher, where'd you get that? Oh, is that what that means right there? Oh, I love that. I'm going to go home and study that. That's some of the best stuff I ever heard in my life. It may be something so simple, but guess what? Oh, them seeds are in that soil. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're going to see some sprouts and you're going to see some things. Hey, I'm telling you right now, hey, I'd rather have a new Christian who has a soft heart than have one that's been saved for years and nothing moves them. Let me tell you, we need to be hearing the Word. Take heed that you hear. Number two, take heed how you hear. Look at verse 16. It says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, now he moves from sowing seeds to lighting candles, covereth it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whatsoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So take heed how you hear the Word. Not just take heed how that you hear, but take heed how you hear. So the image is that now of a lamp. You receive the Word so that you might share the truth with others. You've heard this. Have you let your light so shine before men? Now, there's some people that they do. They have their candle under a bushel, or they put their candle under a bed, and their light is squelched, their light is hidden, and you wouldn't know if they're a Christian or not until you're around them a little bit, and they may tell you. But there's some people that let their light shine wherever they go. That's what the Word of God will do. It causes you to heed how you hear the Word of God, that you want to share it. So when I would, and I find something in the Word of God, I love to get on my phone and call another preacher and say, hey man, I don't know about you, but have you ever seen this in that verse? And they'll say, man, what you talking about? They'll get their Bible open, I'll get my Bible open, and we'll start rejoicing over what the Word of God has shared with us. Hey, you can't help it. You just got to share it with somebody. I would love it if our church just got so on fire for God that we could not help but share the good news of Jesus Christ. How in the world do you call yourself a Christian when you don't share your faith? Man, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for your neighbor. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for the person that you work with or the person that you come in contact with. Hey, we have to share it. Take heed how you hear. And then lastly, take heed why you hear. Can't help but think 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, 1, that now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. Knowledge puffeth up. That does not mean that you going to college is bad. I've heard people say, yeah, that's what that knowledge will do right there. If you go here to, I'm against college because, you know, all it'll cause is you being prideful. No, that ain't what that means. What it means is you take a man that has the Bible and he studies the Bible to be proud about what he knows. I've been around some of those before. I've been around people that they were so puffed up by what they knew. Man, I'm thinking how wonderful it is that God would even shed light on His Word that I would understand something. And some people take it from the other extreme and they look at it like, look at what I know. Look at what I discovered. First of all, there's nothing new under the sun. Just because you've figured it out or found it doesn't mean that somebody else did. Matter of fact, if you'll open up books, you'll find that you're not the first. There's nothing to be prideful about. Jesus was not being rude here. Look at verse number 19. Jesus wasn't being rude to his family. The Bible says, then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. So they couldn't even get to Jesus because of the crowd. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without or outside desiring to see thee. So somebody came to Jesus and said, hey, did you know your mom and your brother's outside waiting on you? And this, look at Jesus' response, verse 20. Or verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. He wasn't saying, I don't care about my mother, I don't care about my brother being out there. I'm sure he went out to speak to them at some point. But what he's saying to them and making a point was, the ones that I know that love me, the ones that's dearest to me, are sitting here receiving the word, and they're going to do something about it. They're going to do something about it. You know what? We need to get to the point where when we hear the word, we don't just hear it, we do something about it. Amen? We're going to not just hear it, but be obedient to the word of God. Take heed why you hear. Jesus was not being rude to his family. He used their appearance to actually teach a valuable lesson. If we desire spiritual intimacy with Jesus, we must listen to the word of God, receive it, and obey it. The next thing I want you to notice is not just hearing the word, but believe in the word. Believe in the word. Look at verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. I love that. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this, that he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him? Hey, not only just hearing the word, but how about number two, believe in the word. You know what? Jesus actually got in the ship knowing that a storm was about to come. Jesus knows everything, does he not? He got in it, and guess what? When that vessel started rocking and they were going, and all of a sudden, hey, they're looking for Jesus and the wind picks up. I don't know about y'all, but we were in a storm last night a little bit over in Woodruff. I mean, it was a gully washer there for a while. And I don't like storms. I just don't. There ain't nothing about them. I don't like what they do. I appreciate the rain, but I'm not a big fan of lightning. I'm not a big fan of wind damage. I'm not a big fan of floods. I'm not a big fan. And those disciples were in that ship, and buddy, that thing's rocking. Matter of fact, the Bible says there was water in the vessel, and guess where Jesus is? He's asleep. He knew, hey, believing the word, Jesus certainly knew that the storm was coming, yet he went asleep on the ship. The same problem God's people face today. We know the word of God, but we do not believe it when we face the test of life. Hey, either you are in a storm right now, you just came out of one, or you're about to go in one, but can I tell you, when Jesus is in the boat, everything's all right. Man, I would rather have Jesus than the best captain in all the world. I'd rather have Jesus than the best vessel, the best boat. You say, well, this boat can weather. Hey, that's what they said about the Titanic. Yeah. Oh, Jesus couldn't sink this boat. God couldn't sink this. Well, he did. But you tell you this, God's never been on a vessel where it sank. And I got news for you that you may be going through a storm today. You may be going through a test. Hey, you may be going through some things in your life, but I got good news. If Jesus, hey, I like what he asked. He asked, where is your faith? And by the way, that's still a key question. Where's your faith at? Someone today said that, they asked me that question, in some matters of what we're dealing with as a church. Preacher, let's just leap out on faith. Let's just launch out on faith on some things and just trust God. Guess what? I like it when other people around me and other leaders say, preacher, let's just trust God and have some faith. Hey, isn't that good that it just doesn't have to be the pastor to have faith? Hey, the people need faith too. Where is your faith? Amen. Hey, do you have faith this morning that your family's going to be all right in the storm? You know, when this fire started happening and all this stuff was going, I'll be honest, that Wednesday that I found out, it wasn't a good day. I mean, I'd had better days, especially being hours away. I'd received better news before, But can I tell you, after we got through that Wednesday and we got through and kind of assessed the damage and what it was going to be like, you know what I knew? There was a peace that came over me that everything was going to be all right. You know why? Because first of all, this ain't my church, it's His church. And here, we're the church. It doesn't matter if we're meeting in a barn. Doesn't matter if we're meeting in building number 5 or under a tent or out here under a tree. What matters is the Word of God being preached, is lives being changed, is souls being saved. You know what? Jesus is in the boat. Where's your faith this morning? Are we trusting God's promises? Are we trusting ourselves and our circumstances? Man, I'm not leaning on circumstances. I'm trusting His promises. How about the number 3? Look at this, boy. Verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when He went forth to land, there met Him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before Him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God Most High? I beseech Thee, torment me not." For He had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion." Legion is a Roman legion. 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers was one legion. I believe this man was possessed, because the Bible says, because many devils were entered into him. Many devils. Man, you imagine one devil's enough, but 3,000? 6,000 devils? Think about this. And they besought Him. Notice that little phrase, besought Him, that He would not command them to go out into the deep. That's the first besought. I want you to notice this again. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought Him that He would suffer them to enter into them. And He suffered them. So the first besought was the man. He besought, he asked the Lord. That means that he pleaded. And then the second was by the demons. And he went to the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, that means the owners of the swine, the owners of the hogs, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. By the way, they wasn't going into the country to spread the good news. They were going to spread the bad news. Look at verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought. There's the second one. The first besought was the demons asking the Lord to go into those swine, and they did. The second besought is the multitude, and they besought Him to depart. And guess what Jesus does? For they were taken with great fear, verse 37, and were great fear. And He went up into the ship and returned back again. So they say, we want you out of here. You've done ruined our livelihood. All of them pigs we've been feeding. Now them demons went in there and they drowned. And we want you out of here, Jesus. You've caused some problems. Even though they couldn't understand that man that had been in those tombs that was cutting himself and screaming and crying out. They couldn't explain that. Matter of fact, it made them scared. But Jesus left. But I want you to notice something else. Verse 38, here's the third besought. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Him that He might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The third thing we see, this man who's healed with these demons, and now he's clothed and in his right mind. And guess what he asked Jesus? He said, "Jesus, would you make me one of your disciples so I could hear the Word of God and understand the Word of God? And could you take me?" And Jesus said, "No." See, he granted the first besought and the second besought, but he wouldn't grant the third one. He said, "No, I want you to go back in your city and I want you to tell everything. Tell everybody what happened to you. Show them your faith. Tell them what happened to you. Hey, can I tell you, now some people may criticize the fact that Jesus actually listened to those demons, but I believe Jesus was proving a point. I believe Jesus said, whether it's a person or a pig, you get them demons in you, it'll make an animal out of you. Amen. I believe he was proving a point there. They rejected the word. Can you imagine that multitude that said, we want you out of here, Jesus. Get out of here. They rejected the word of God. They said, get on that ship and go back to where you came from. You're not welcome here. Hey, I think about that. I think about how folks have rejected the word. People rejected the word and asked Jesus to leave them. What an opportunity they missed. Hey, if you're sitting in here this morning and you are hearing the word of God, but yet you walk out and you reject what you hear, that is dangerous ground. We see what happens. Then we see, look at verse 41. The Bible talks about experiencing the word. Because notice verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. And he had only a daughter and about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having the issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living, physicians neither could be healed of any. And I think it's interesting that Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter that was lay a dying. And here by verse 43, we have a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. Both of them in need of a touch. Jesus is teaching, and Jesus is around a lot of folks at this time. The Bible says they were thronging him. And Jesus said, who touched me? In verse 45, she touched the border of his garment in verse 44, and immediately the issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said in verse 45, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know, Peter's like one of us. Lord, there's people bumping into you all over the place, and somebody touched you. Why are you asking that somebody touched you? Certainly somebody has touched you. And Jesus stopped Peter and said, no, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me that was different. And we see that this woman came and she touched the hem of his garment. And we have this prestigious man who has a 12-year-old daughter laying almost at death. And this woman over here who has nothing but an issue of blood. You know what that tells me? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Amen. Doesn't matter if you've got wealth this morning, or doesn't matter if you have nothing. Hey, Jesus will take you just as you are. He took that woman just as she was, and she was immediately she was healed. Hey, you know what we need this morning? We need a touch. Hey, the Word of God, it doesn't matter. You can reject it today. You can say, get on out of here. I don't need to hear that. Move it on out. But guess what? Let me just tell you right now, there's going to be some that in here today that need a touch. You can reject it or you can receive it. We see the experience in the Word of God. He trusted the Word. Jairus, look at verse number 50. Jairus trusted the Word. See, that woman was healed. But verse 50, when Jesus heard it and answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. See, Jairus watched that whole deal take place with that woman. Jairus is standing there. He's about to approach the Lord with his daughter and that problem. All of a sudden, Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? And Jairus is watching the whole thing. He saw that woman get healed. He experienced that whole thing. And now Jairus is, you can imagine, he's kind of excited. But he heard, because in verse 49, someone came, the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. So in the middle of that whole scenario, while Jairus is watching Jesus literally heal a woman with a blood disease, someone runs up to Jairus and says, Jairus, I have bad news for you. Your daughter just passed away. Now you imagine that. Imagine the feeling that, man, Jesus might can get to her in time while she's still alive. And if he can heal that woman, surely he can heal. Oh, man, but now my daughter's dead. You know, I thought about this. You know, the Bible often doesn't shed a whole lot of light on emotions. Can you imagine the emotions that's going on? I mean, kind of put yourself there. This is an emotional thing. You know, I have three children. I said it earlier, but if I had a daughter that was sick unto death, the doctors kept telling me, there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can do. The only thing that we can, you pray for a miracle. Man, and then if we find out that it gets worse and then she passes away, you know what? Most people would give up hope. And I'm not saying that Jairus didn't lose some heart there, but when Jesus heard, because Jesus heard the man tell Jairus, your daughter's dead, and when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, looking at Jairus, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, except Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept. Notice that verse 52. Can you imagine the scene? And bewailed her. I believe if you were approaching that house that day, you could have heard those people in there weeping and wailing as you got close to that house. It would have been an awful sight. I don't know about you, but I've been around death a little bit. I've been around bad situations. I've been around places where someone just received news that a loved one had passed away. Or I remember one time I preached a funeral of an 18-year-old boy who was checking his mail one day, and he was in our church, and he was a senior in high school, and he went out to check his mail, and a girl was driving down the road, and she was texting on her phone, and she it was about dusk, and she ran off the road, and she hit that boy and killed him. Sheriff's department called my house. They couldn't get in touch with my dad, and they called my house, and they said, we need the pastor to come up here and identify this boy, and then we need you to pray with the family, if you could. One of the sheriff's deputies was a Christian man. And so immediately I'm like, man, who is this 18? They wouldn't give me any information over the phone. I'm thinking, who is this 18-year-old boy? I was trying to roll the decks through my mind. Who's this 18-year-old boy? And I cross over that little hill about 3 or 4 miles from my house, and I seen, literally, it hadn't happened real long before, but I seen a white sheet still on the road. Seen cars. I mean, there was a sea of police cars and ambulance and fire trucks, and they had shut the road down, and up on the hill was the trailer, and I said, I know exactly who this boy is. Man, I couldn't believe it, but I went in there and tried to comfort that mom and that dad, and as I approached that trailer, you could hear that mama screaming. You could hear that daddy crying. You could see people around them and that family, and when I walked in the door, man, I didn't know what to say. Man, we just started praying and trying to comfort them. Folks, let me tell you, this situation was not a good situation. I mean, these people believed, because this woman was dead. She wasn't in a coma. She wasn't asleep. She was dead. And the only person that could do something about it was Jesus. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is there a problem that only Jesus can do something in your life? I believe I'm preaching to some people this morning. See, I'm preaching to some of you that everything right now is all good. I can watch how you even receive this message. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. But you may not be good tomorrow. Oh, I'm good, preacher. Good, man. Give you a high five. Good message today, man. Go on, good. That was good. Will you be doing that tomorrow? You know, only one doctor's visit. Only one marriage counseling appointment. Only one note left in the kitchen. Been dealing with that. Oh yeah. Go home and you think everything's good only to find a little note in the kitchen. I've met somebody else. Oh yeah. Well, I thought everything was good, did you? Sounds like Jesus needs to come in. Sounds like Jesus needs to come in. Sounds like your marriage needs a touch. Oh, I didn't realize it, preacher. Whenever I didn't even realize we were having... Oh, friend, let me tell you, there's a lot of people that walk around oblivious until disaster strikes. That's a whole different message. I believe these people here, and I don't know if this death of this girl was a sudden thing or she'd been sick a long time, but I know this, it woke that family up. Amen. There needs to be some people today that says, hey, Jesus, Dr. Phil can't help this. That no self-help book can help our marriage. Hey, nothing can help this, Jesus. It's going to be you and only you. That's exactly where we need to be today. Hey, we need to stop relying on a bunch of self-help books and a bunch of different that. Hey, we need to rely on Jesus and get to Him today. He's the one that can do something. Jesus is always the master of every situation. He dismissed these mourners. Look at that. I love how Jesus treated them mourners. Look at what he did. Verse 52, and all wept and bewailed her and said, "Why weep not? She's not dead, but sleepeth." That's what Jesus said. Look at verse 53. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They laughed at Jesus. They said, "Oh, we watched her die, Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about." And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." You know what Jesus did? He kicked them out of the house. That's a message. He said, "If you're going to laugh and you don't have any faith, then get out of here." Amen. Don't tell me Jesus was a softy. He ran them all out. Amen. Get out, get out, get out, get out. You're going to laugh, get out. You laugher, get out. You scorner, get out. You little faith, get out. Because the only ones we want in here is ones that believe that I can raise this girl from the dead.
Amen.
Do you believe this morning? Or would have Jesus kicked you out? Would you have been in that crowd that left? Or would you have been in there saying, "Yeah, I know he can. Boy, I know he can." Hey, do you have something in here where you have to say, "Hey, Lord, I'm praying, I'm trusting, and I'm believing"? Or are you over there saying, like Sarah, "I'm just going to laugh this and out"? Let me tell you, we need more ones in here today that have faith instead of the ones that doubt. He kicked them out. Think about this. Look at verse 55. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway and commanded to give her meat, started feeding her. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that she not tell man what was done. I love the fact that Jesus healed this girl. I love the fact that Jesus healed that woman. I love the fact that he cast out devils out of that demoniac. I love the fact that he done all those things. He calmed the winds, the waves, the seas. He calmed it all. But God, I got good news for you. You know where it all points back at? The Word of God. How do we receive it this morning? Do we believe it? Do we believe that he's the God of the impossible? Do we believe that he answers prayer? Do we believe that when we call unto him, he will answer you and show you great and mighty things? Church, may I remind you this morning that we serve a great God.
Amen.
And we have a great book. And we get to read it. God put this in, inspired it and preserved it. And there's power. We have the Word of God in the English language. And a lot of people don't even know where their Bible's at most of the time. But this is Jesus on paper.
Amen.
The Word of God. Man, I'm working on some things now about the life of Job. There's a lot of comparisons to Job and Jesus. Man, why would God put 42 chapters in a book about a man's problems other than pointing people to Jesus?
Amen.
Hey, can I tell you, every problem that we have, we've got one cure. It's Jesus.
Right.
And the Word of God. Do you have a situation in your life today? The Word still has power. Do we have the faith to release that power? Even faith the size of a little mustard seed, the grain of a mustard seed. Do we have that power? Do we have that faith? I believe God's going to do some great things through this church.
Amen.
I really do. Hey, only 2 years here. 2 years, a little over 2 years. Just about 2 years and a month. And to see what God has done at Bible Baptist Church.
Amen.
You know where it all comes from? Certainly not me. Doesn't come from anybody here in our church. It comes from the Lord Jesus.
Right.
But it's faith.
Yeah.
I like it that when Jesus knew the storm was coming, the Bible says they launched out. That's what we got to do.
Amen.
Well, I don't understand a preacher. It ain't going to make much sense on paper, but let's launch out anyhow.
Amen.
Because we believe the Word.